Translation, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto Narayana, the best of all saintly personalities, the supreme personality of God, the most self-controlled and self-realized. He is free from false prestige and his asset of persons who have no material possessions. He is the spiritual master of all Paramahamsas who are the most exalted human beings, and he is the master of the self-realized. Let me offer my repeated obeisances unto this local speech. Text 12, Narada, the most powerful saintly sage, also worshipped Narayana by chanting the following mantra. The Supreme Personality of God is the master of creation, makes an annihilation of his physical cosmic manifestation, and he is completely free from false prestige. Although to the foolish he appears to have accepted a material body like us, he is unaffected by bodily tribulations like hunger, thirst, and fatigue. Although he is the witness who sees everything, his senses are unpolluted by the object he sees. I offer my respectful obeisances unto that unattached pure witness of the world, the Supreme Soul, Personality of Godhead. Wherefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is God, such as Vinanda Vigraha, the body of eternity, transcendental bliss, equal knowledge. Now, in this verse, he is more fully described. Krishna is the creator of the entire cosmic manifestation, and he's unattached to it. If we were to construct a very tall skyscraper, we would be very attached to it. But Krishna is so renounced that although he has created everything, he is not attached to anything. Furthermore, although Krishna has his transcendental form, such as Ananda Vigraha, he is not disturbed by the bodily necessities of life, which are called Daihika. For example, he is never hungry, thirsty, or fatigued. Then again, since everything is Krishna's property, he sees everything and is present everywhere, but because his body is transcendental, he is above vision, the obstacle vision, and the process of vision. When we see something, someone beautiful, we are attracted. The sight of a beautiful woman immediately attracts a man, and the sight of a man naturally attracts a woman. Krishna, however, is transcendental to all these faults. although he is a seer, everything is not afflicted by faulty vision. Therefore, although he is the witness and seer, he is aloof from all affection for the activities he sees. He is always unattached and separate from his own witness. Translation Nara, the most powerful saintly sage, also worships Narayan by chanting the following mantra. The Supreme Personality of God is the master of creation, nature, annihilation, the physical cosmic manifestation, yet he is completely free from false prestige. Although to the foolish he appears to have accepted a material body like us, he is unaffected by bodily tribulations like hunger, thirst, and fatigue. Although he is a witness who sees everything, his senses are unpolluted by the object he sees. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the unattached pure witness of the world, the Supreme Soul, Personality of Godhead. So Narada here is the, let's say, the leader who's offering respect to Narayan, who is the deity worshipped in Varsha. So all of the different Varshas have already been described, and they're a prominent personality, and the object of worship in the form of different avatars has been described. And lastly, Varsha is now described with the form of Narayan being worshipped by Narada and others. So here Narada offers his prayers to the Supreme Lord. Now Narayan, of course, is actually a combination of two, that is the Supreme Lord and Ajiva, that is an expansion of Arjuna. So together they appear within this material world, and their form is one of renunciation. They wear deer skins and carry a pot and have beads around their neck. And Narayan, of course, teaches austerity. So, in other words, he represents complete control of the body and senses and mind. Here Narada offers his prayers to him. So though he appears to be renunciate, someone who's renounced material life, we should not think that he has to do that, because he has no purpose in practicing austerities or meditation, etc., since he is the Supreme Lord. So naturally, he is not affected by anything in the material world. In this material world, there are different ashramas. Ultimately, the last ashram is sannyas, in which one renounces everything because it is material and causes distraction, so one can concentrate on the Supreme Lord. So, Supreme Lord has no attraction for anything in the material world, so there's no question of having to practice anything. Nevertheless, he sets a good example and gives teachings for the people of the material world. So Narada Muni is here making it very clear that, in spite of his appearance, he doesn't have to do anything like this because he is the Supreme Lord. And in fact, though he appears in a human form, he's actually the creator of everything. So he is the master of creation and maintenance and destruction of everything. And at the same time, he is not affected by that activity. Normally, if people create something, they become proud of that creation. Think, I have made this. But he is not at all attached to this creation that he has made. Therefore, we will see that though the Lord manifests everything, it also disappears, and it's greater degree, it disappears, it's greater degree, it disappears. So the Lord is not attached to the creation at all. Of course, we can also say, well, he's attached to the destruction of it, because he also destroys it, so he can be proud of destroying it also. But no, the Lord is also not attached to the destruction of the material world, or the maintenance of the material world, even though he does so. And he pervades everything and witnesses everything and supports everything in the material world. He's not proud of that either.
And
that is, of course, represented by the fact that though Mahavishnu creates everything, he's sleeping. He's completely, unaware of it. His consciousness is not involved in anything in the material world at all, so it's completely detached from this creation of the material realm. He is in yoga nidra, and so he doesn't have to look at anything or be aware of anything. However, he carries out the main creation instruction. He must be awake in some sense, so therefore he has his expansion such as Garbhadaksha, Vishnu, Kshiradaksha, Vishnu will do this. So, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu is in charge of the maintenance of the material world, and Kshiradakshaya Vishnu pervades everything and witnesses everything within the material world. So all of this is Supreme Lord, so simultaneously he's involved, but he's not involved. And even though he is involved, still, he is in no way affected by it. So he's not affected by pride in creating or destroying the material world. And though he witnesses everything in the material world, because he is full of knowledge, he is sarvajna. Still, he is not affected by anything he witnesses in the material world. So he sees everything, but it does not contaminate him in any way. This is quite unlike the jivas in the material world. We have our senses so that we can perceive things, so that we can get some enjoyment. Our senses are meant for getting different types of enjoyment. That is not the purpose of the Lord. So he sees with his senses, it's not for enjoyment at all. Completely different function. So, he can see everything, but he is not contaminated by anything in this material world. And he has a body. But that body is not in any way functioning like our bodies. He has a body, definitely, but at the same time, that body is not depending upon material things. So it does not experience thirst or hunger, etc. It has no birth and no death, whatever. So yes, he has a form or a body, but he is not dependent on anything within the material world. It is completely independent. And, of course, it's different from the jiva's body because jiva's body is different from the atma. The body is material and depends on material things. The atma is separate from that. So, the jiva has got a body, but it's a material body quite different from the jiva. Supreme Lord's body is the same as the Lord. There's no difference between the body of the Lord and the Lord himself. It is all spiritual. There's no material elements there at all, and no dependence of that body upon anything in the material world. And, in fact, rather than having to experience hunger and thirst, etc., that body is made only of bliss. There is no negative aspects in that body at all. The body is itself bliss and full of knowledge, etc. It has no ignorance in it at all. Is not subject to destruction, it's eternal. So the body of the Supreme Lord is completely different from the material bodies here. So Narada Muni is stating all of this to show that Narayan is not part of the material world at all. But he causes the material world, he destroys the material world, he witnesses everything in the material world. He appears within the material world with a form, but he's not related to it at all. So in other words, he is a form, the Lord is a form, who is worthy of worship. He's eternal, he is not filled with imperfections like the bodies in the material world at all. So by making these statements here, Narada Muni is showing that Narayana is the object of worship for the jivas, because he's completely different from the jivas and unaffected by anything in this material world. So in other words, Narada Muni is distinguishing the Supreme Lord from everybody else. So this, of course, is the purpose of Scripture, to distinguish the Supreme Lord and give us good reasons why we should worship Him. People will ask, why should we worship the Supreme Lord? So there must be some special characteristics in Him that would cause us to worship Him. So therefore, the Scriptures will explain the difference between the Lord and everything else. So that is exactly what Nardamuni is doing here. He's distinguishing the Lord from everyone. So though people create things, they are also doers, or karta. The jivas cannot create and destroy material worlds. Only the Lord can do that. This way He's different. And of course, though the jiva is also karta, He is attached to His results, whereas the Supreme Lord is not. So, the jiva has a body, the Supreme Lord also has a body. But I just pointed out, they're very different. So this, the Lord's body is superior to that of the jiva. It is eternal, it is not matter, it is fully conscious. It is full of bliss at all stages. It is not dependent on anything in the material world, not subject to suffering. So it is completely different from this body. Of course, beyond that, it is most attractive, it is most beautiful. It has no fault at all. Because the Lord has all knowledge, He can witness everything. Jivas cannot do so. They are limited in their knowledge. They can perceive what's in their body to some extent and nothing else. They can perceive something of the material world, but not everything. So the Supreme Lord witnesses everything within the body of all the jivas and outside of the bodies of all the jivas, in all of the material world and all the spiritual world. So His knowledge is far, far superior to that of the jiva. So therefore, the Lord is different from jivas. At the same time, whatever is admirable in the jiva is in the Lord, but in its perfect state. So, the jiva has consciousness and knowledge. The Lord has consciousness and knowledge. The jiva has a body. The Lord has a body. The jiva has some experience of happiness. The Lord has complete experience of happiness. The jiva is the creator, and the Supreme Lord is the creator. So, there are similarities, definitely, but also there is great difference. So therefore, the jiva should worship the Supreme Lord because of His unique, superior qualities. So that is what Narada Muni actually is doing here. He is distinguishing the Supreme Lord from everything else. So not only here, we'll find that this is one of the purposes of Scripture. And that's why we'll see in the various discussions that take place in Bhagavata and in Bhagavad Gita. The same points are always raised. The Lord is the creator of the material world. He's the destroyer of the material world. He's untouched by the material world. He knows everything within the material world. So these are common characteristics to distinguish the Lord from the jiva. So not only in the Bhagavata, we'll find this is also in the Upanishads. So Lord Chaitanya has said, of course, that the Bhagavata is the natural commentary on the Brahma Sutras, and the Brahma Sutras are the commentary on the Upanishads. So it's not surprising, therefore, that whatever is expressed in the Bhagavata actually is the conclusion of what is in the Upanishads. So they also, which are Sruti, they also say the same thing. They define the Lord as being completely different from everything else in these particular ways also. So we find the subject matter is common in the Puranas and in the Upanishads. The same subject matter is covered with more elaboration, of course, in the Puranas and Bhagavatam. Nevertheless, ultimately the same conclusions are there. The same facts are there. So, the end result of all this knowledge, of course, is that it gives us good reason to worship the Supreme Lord. So we'll have philosophy to define the Lord and the position of the jiva, which is necessary to begin anything. We have to define where we are. And then the process of how to interact with the Lord is described. And that process is, of course, bhakti, devotion to the Lord, using body, mind, and words. So these are the subject matters of the scripture. What is the result? The result ultimately is that one gives up the material body, one destroys all karma, and one ends up serving the Lord eternally in the spiritual world with the spiritual body. So these are the matters of scripture, and though the scripture speak of many things, ultimately these are the basic topics of scripture, so we should not get too confused by all the elaborate descriptions. It all comes down to this, simply a description of the Lord, distinguishing from the jiva, the process of bhakti, and the ultimate goal of all of that practice. So these are the subjects of the Upanishads, the Brahma Sutras, and the Puranas, and ultimately the Bhagavatam. Well, because he's non-different from Paramatma. That's why.
No, but in the spiritual world, how many witnesses like
through Paramatma here? Because it's non-different. The same person. We speak of them as separate, but they're not. They're the same person. Which is difficult for us to understand, but he's the same. So Bhagavan is Paramatma. But he's also separate. What's that? Because the jiva is there. Simply because the jiva is there. But he's not only in the heart, he's outside the heart also. He's everywhere. But simply because the jiva is in the heart, he's also in the jiva. But he's inside the jiva and outside the jiva. So actually he's everywhere. Not just there, he's everywhere. He pervades everywhere in the material world. Inside and outside everything. So it's convenient for say he resides in the heart or he resides in the jiva, but actually he's everywhere. Huh? Well, the jiva is there in the form of Nara. So, yes, they are worship, but of course the principal worship goes to Narayan. Of course, the Supreme Lord is never alone, so usually we worship Radha and Krishna. Now, Krishna is Supreme Lord, but we also worship Radha, and there's no contradiction there, because she's the servant. So, in the same way, we have Supreme Lord in the form of Narayan, and we have Nara, the jiva, who is an expansion of Arjuna. So there's no contradiction. We worship the Lord and his devotee. But nevertheless, the devotees understand there is difference there. But they can all be worshipped. Even a person like Narada Muni is also a Shaktivedanta, he's also a jiva, but he gets worshipped because he has special powers. It's not so common, no. Of course, if one looks, probably one will find a few around in here or whatever, but that's the famous one in Padranath. Well, Paramatma is a function for the material world, the creation, maintenance, destruction, witness, all that. So, technically, no. Is Bhagavan in the spiritual world. Of course, they're the same, they're one person, but that these functions are there for the material world. But doesn't mean the Lord doesn't know anything in the spiritual world, because if that function is performed by Bhagavan there. But
in relation to the liberated jivas, not the ones who are conditioned. Lila avatar. Well, technically, because though the devotees come into the material world, they're not part of the material world. That Dhamma is part of the spiritual world. So it is Bhagavan and his devotees who are separate from anything in the material world. So it's not really Paramatma that. Well, it's called Tatastha Shakti, so it is an energy. And then it has, of course, it has knowledge, etc. But everything ultimately is dependent upon the Supreme Lord.
Common question people ask is, Padma is always accompanying a jiva. How is so tolerant to see the jiva committing all types of any activities? So, this is.
How does it?
He's not drinking. He's seeing all the jivas committing all types of mistakes. And
well, he permits. But then the law of karma is there. So though it is permitted because they want to do that, they have to also suffer the results. Just like in a country, it is not that everything is completely determined by the government, that today you get up and you put your left foot down, you put your right foot down, and you put your hand here and do that. They don't do that. But if you break the law, then you get the punishment. So the Lord is like that. You have your free will, but if you do something which is against the principles of Dharma, then you get the punishment for that also. So in other words, the jiva does have free will within certain limits.
We say that somebody learns a bad habit of association. One is associated with a bad person, the other is a bad practice. The jiva is like being the mighty part of the person. How it affects bad habits? How do you learn the bad habits of flow away from the pinpoint that?
Well, his very nature is to be bahirmukha, and that is anadi.
Gantra Sri Sri Srimad Bhagavatam ki
jai.
Jivanas Bhagavatam ki
jai.
Jivan Vedas Bhagavatam ki
jai.
Jai. I hope from
you.
I'm
అలోక మనం భగవద్గీత ఉంది కదా, దీని మధ్య ఆచార్యులు ఏం చెప్తారు, సులభంగా బాల్య వర్గలు బాల్యం వాళ్ళు జడలిస్తారు.
Thank you.